catch on Orty Radio 1.
Thank you, Seamus from Chicago, age 6. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Well, Mother Nature put on a great show last night with her thunder and her lightning. I was awake for about an hour. Don't know about you. I said there's a lot of tired people. Liverpool fans and people who are woken up by the thunder and lightning are probably tired today. Yeah, went on for about an hour and it was mad rolling thunder and flashes of light. And then there'd be a quiet. You might hear a bit of rain on the roof and then thunder again and lightning. Rawr! We don't get much of it here. I remember being on a holiday in the south of France or somewhere around the Dordogne Valley or someplace like that. And it went down all night and it was glorious. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm just going to lie here and enjoy this. Didn't even attempt to go to sleep. So if you're tired, I've bad news here. You're going to be staying up late again tonight because RT1 does comic relief from 8 o'clock. And we're dedicating the whole show today to build up to that. Because it looks like it's going to be a wonderful event. And there's been loads of talk about various things, normal people. Dermot Bannon, the musical. Sorry, Dermot Bannon, the opera is what I'm looking forward to. And then there's the Derry Girls are in there. The two Johnnies are on, Pat Short and his daughter. Loads of things happening across the evening. And we're going to just give you a sample of what you can look forward to. So I'll be in the company of my old friends, Zig and Zag. And I'm sure if they're here, Dustin might break in some way, shape or form. So I'll be talking to them. I'll be talking to Lenny Abramson and Paul Mescal from Normal People. Because the word on the street is that what we're about to see tonight is going to go viral and go global. It's going to go interplanetary. It's going to go galaxy-wise. Why it's so good. That's what they're saying. And usually if you're interviewing somebody about something, you get to see a preview. No previews on this one, lads. No previews whatsoever. So we'll be talking to them. Jerry Fish has got together a stellar cast to sing his True Friend song. And this is a glorious thing. You'll see it tonight. Back at the end of April, we spoke to Christy Moore, who was on lockdown. And he had an old Nokia phone and he sang The Voyage for us. And The Voyage had been chosen by you was the song that would get us through all this. A sort of a song that represented resilience and camaraderie and the strength of family and all those things. And Christy was very flattered by that. So he did us a favour, took a call, sang the song down the line. And then a man who's involved in RT Does Comic Relief got on to a man who's involved in an animation company and there's a beautiful little 3.5 minute animation and the soundtrack to it is Christy's performance from at the end of April. And I've watched it 4 times now and I've cried every time in a good way. So we'll be talking to him as well. Joanne McNally will be here and lots more besides. So if you have anything to say, if you have any jokes. No, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Comic relief jokes. No, don't ask them for jokes. No. Forget I ever said that. Anyway, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, yesterday we announced the winner of our Page My Life competition and it is Elaine Wilbur from Galway. And Elaine gets the €1,000 from Easton.com and she's going to be in the book. And the runners-up were Susan Carey and Anne Battersby. And Susan Carey just touched me no end. And I'm just looking at a quote from her, which is up on the RT website there. When I told her yesterday that she'd, won €500, she was going to be in the book and the RT guide said, I've never written a thing in my life. I've had an awful year, but this is the best thing that's happened. I'm so humbled. I'm not looking for a pity party or sympathy vote or anything. But a year ago, Susan told us she had her colon removed. And this time last year, she was so ill and so weak that she cried every day. And to be able to do this as an enter the competition and have the energy to write this and to get this far is just amazing. I'm blown away. And that was Susan from yesterday. And a lot of people have been on to know when will we know who's in the book? Because the book's going to be out in autumn. That'll be about 150 stories in that from the thousands of entries we got. That's a completely different process. That started, but it's only in its infancy. So they'll have to go through all of those. The people in HarperCollins go through them, see what'll work and what won't work. And it'll be probably, September before we will know which ones make it into the book. But it's all very exciting because it means that 120 people, 150 people are going to be published for the first time in what we hope will be a lovely hardback book, the perfect Christmas present. Oh, did I say Christmas? That's far too early for that. Slap on the back of the wrist. Anyway, well done that. And we did the big thank you thing on Wednesday, and we had people from all 32 counties saying thanks to people who got us through the lockdown. And I think that inspired people to say thanks. So we got a number of thank yous into ray@rte.ie. Sarah's been on to it. She says, I hope you have the time to read out my small few words to my sister, Jane. There are so many things I need to thank you for. So I will start with this. Thank you for being you, Sarah says to Jane. I've known forever that you are hands down one of the best people that God put on this earth, and I'm so happy to have you as my sister and best friend. Isn't that lovely? You are kind, loving, loyal, super intelligent and a great cook. All through COVID, when your business had to suddenly close, you've been amazing to all, cooking and delivering Sunday lunch and much, much more, with full honours to four, if not five houses. You could have taken the time to rest, but no, all had to be done correctly, meticulously and beautifully and with no complaints. So I want to thank you, Jane, and your partner, Ray, and everybody in Wineport Lodge, says Sarah. That's nice. And today would have been the last day of primary school, today and yesterday, if the lockdown didn't happen. And we got a number of thanks for teachers. So I'll just read one out, and you can take it that teachers all over the country, you're appreciated now more than ever. Because parents for the last 3 months had to do a bit of teaching themselves, and they now realise how difficult a job it is, how much patience you have, the skill set you have that we take for granted. So we all want to say thank you to teachers. And this one in particular for Mr. O'Brody. I know at this time you would be inundated with people asking you to give a shout out to teachers for their support over the last number of weeks since the COVID-19 closed our schools. But this letter is different because the teacher we would like to thank is Mr. O'Brody of St. Mary's National School in Ashburn. He has taught four classes this year. He is everything that our education system needs. He has done everything humanly possible to keep school life as normal as possible since COVID-19. He will start each day with video call on Seesaw, saying hello and good morning to his class and saying he hoped everyone was keeping safe and well at home. I can't begin to say how wonderful he is to all the children. He set out their work for the day, covering all their subjects with lots of additional interesting fun projects, getting the best out of the children. He is so full of enthusiasm, support and kindness. He is the pinnacle of everything a brilliant teacher is. I just think we have to acknowledge when someone surpasses your expectations of how he has had to reinvent his teaching methods over a number of days and achieved what he has done. He has played a pivotal role helping the children get through these strange times. We need to celebrate the teachers that inspire our children to love and enjoy learning. Just want to say we've been privileged to have had our children taught by such an excellent teacher and to thank him for such dedication over the last 4 months and to wish him the very best in the future. The class going to have him in September are very lucky children. Mr. O'Brody is a legend. He sounds like a superhuman. Sounds like a superhuman. And to all six class, it's been a very strange time, hasn't it? You didn't get to make your confirmation if you were making it. You probably would have had a sports day planned, an end of primary school tour. None of that's happened. And you probably had a big day planned for yesterday or today to graduate out of primary school. That didn't happen either. So we wish you well. We wish you well. Well done on getting through primary school. Enjoy your summer holidays and good luck on the next chapter, adventure in your life. Secondary school is the crack. It's the best crack ever. You will make so many friends and have the best time of your life. I think a lot of people say that secondary school is probably the best days of their lives. So good luck with that. And well done again. Now, Deirdre McVeigh has been on. She says, many thanks. Got my mug this morning. She was on the All-Ireland quiz, which isn't on today because of our special programme for RT Does Comic Relief. Now, let's see what you're saying. 5 and 5 and 1. I honestly never heard a sound last night. Slept like a log. Look at you. I slept through it all. Missed it, says Shane. And on Christy Moore, I cried that day listening to Christy. He was cocooned, I was cocooned. Strange days. But wait till you see the little animation. And I say little in a loving way. It's beautiful. How can we watch the Christy Moore animation? You have to tune in tonight. Olive Bridget, RT1 from 8 o'clock. I don't know where it is in the running order. But 8 o'clock till 11:30. I'd say it'll be early on. I would imagine it would be. So excited for tonight's telethon, especially the den part. I just loved it as a kid. My primary school teacher allowed us to knit a zig or zag character once. She was a nun, Sister Elizabeth, but we knew she had a soft spot for you, hence the knitting project, as she thought we'd get to meet you. A lovely lady. Good luck with the show. I'm blushing here. That's Madeline down in Hookhead. Am I in the book? Will I be published author finally? Enda asks. I don't know, Enda. We won't know until September. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. I know, still June. July next week, there's Monday. And Anne from Kilkenny says, love that song, Good Awfully Man. Burr, isn't it? Monday's from Burr. And he's featured in, you'll see it tonight. Another thing you'll see tonight is this lovely version of True Friends by Jerry Fish. And Monday and loads of others are in it. But we talk to Jerry Fish later on about that. Is Dustin Omiche or just Zig and Zag? Dustin, yes, we couldn't stop Dustin being on it. And an odd thing was, because a lot of the stuff is pre-recorded tonight, because, you know, comedy and people in lockdown and all that sort of thing. But Dustin insisted on going live. So I'm a bit worried. I wonder why he insisted on going live. Anyway, yeah, I'll be talking to him later on, so I'll be able to warn him not to say anything he shouldn't say. A big hello to Miss O'Brien, a fourth class teacher in St. Mary's in Ashburn. My grandson James loved her, says Granny M. And Christy Moore was one of my highlights from the lockdown, listening to him live, playing over the phone. He's a legend. And my wife's a teacher and sometimes feels that parents think she has been doing feck all for the last few months. And my niece Frances graduated from Educate Together in Ashburn last night. It was a fantastic evening, a drive-through graduation, and each child sat on a seat in front of their own car. It was spectacular and was far nicer than being inside. From an outsider, well done to the Teachers Parents Association parents, and in particular the children of 2020. That's from Mary in Rathfarnham. And speaking of things that happened last night, we've been mentioning Emma Fogarty over the last few weeks and her challenge to raise €72,000 before her 36th birthday. Well, her 36th birthday was yesterday, and brilliant news. Not only did Emma reach 72,000, but she's got raised more than 72,000. So thanks to everybody who helped her out. And they had a big event, social distancing and all that, down in Abbey Leagues to celebrate her birthday and her achievement of her target. She raised €72,000 for Deborah Ireland. So well done to everybody there, and happy birthday again to Emma.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I have to say, I haven't been as excited about something in a long time. Tonight, the old band are back together. The Den Reunion, as part of RTE Does Comic Relief. Zig, are you excited?
Yes, I am super excited, Ray Darcy from Kildare. I can't wait.
Zag, how excited are you?
Raymondo! We're very excited, Ray. Justin has us out. He apparently is building a new set or something, like the old Den set, and he's set us out to buy toys.
Okay, yeah. That's important.
Ray, I have to clear something. What's he on about? Just clear something up, Ray?
Yes.
Okay, so, look, I heard some talk about it earlier on your show and stuff. You look, we have to apologise to everyone in the East Coast, because all that ruckus during the night, that was us. Because we were flying the Zogmobile back from Zog. Right, and we were hitting the upper stratosphere, and then Zag spilled his tea into the control thing, and then we started skidding off the upper, and there was all this flashing and this tumbling, and everyone thinks it's thunder and stuff like that, but actually it was us on the way back to do this brilliant, really cool, exciting show tonight with you, Ray Darcy.
I'm so excited. Now, there is a little thing about, you know, whatever goes on in Zog, you look exactly the same. I look slightly different, you know, and how are people going to react to that?
It's okay.
Yeah, they'll be fine. It'll be fine. Okay.
It'll be fine, Ray, because, like, once you've got your hair, your black hair, it'll be fine. It'll just look the same.
They'll just touch your hair up, Ray. It's just a couple of grey strands or something like that.
Don't worry, Ray. I'm just doing a bit of maths here. It's 24 years since we were live on the television together.
Yeah, this is true, Ray, but don't get complacent, and that's why we brought you a Ted Free Zone sticker, just in case.
Oh, no.
You know, just in case things can happen.
Do your listeners remember, Ray? Do people out there remember how disruptive Ted was?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We had to keep an eye on him the whole time. Every time we went on air, we were petrified in case Ted would turn up. And he used to attack you, Ray.
Yes, he did, yeah.
He has a grudge, Ray.
He does.
But don't worry, a Ted-free zone sticker is going to be the same, Ray.
It's funny, Zig. It's funny because, you know, over the years you meet people out and about. You know, you'd be in the park, or you might be in a pub for a quiet drink. And when people come over to you, they want to talk about you two. But then very quickly, they want to talk about Ted. It's odd because they seem to think it's funny that I get beaten up by
Ted. No, Ray, they don't get it, Ray.
It's quite serious.
Like a kind of a, He's like a one bear pandemic. Yeah. You know, you just never know when he's going to, like, there's going to be a second wave or a 15th wave. Or, yeah. You know, I don't think he's going to turn up tonight, though, Ray, so don't worry.
Okay.
But listen, here's another question. Why does Dustin want us live?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just saying to our listeners there, I'm a bit worried because, you know, we could have pre-recorded. It would have been fine.
Like but, everything else.
But he said he was going to walk if we pre-recorded it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you text him or tell him that we were on the radio this afternoon? Did you tell him or?
No, I thought you were going to tell him.
Oh,
Dan,
you didn't.
All right.
I've had the same tax on for four weeks now. How's it going?
How are you, Dustin?
How are you singing, Zach?
Hi, Dustin.
Dustin, are you really excited about tonight?
No. Have you built the set, Dustin?
The set's nearly finished. I just have to rob a bit of bits and pieces off the Fair City set over in Carrickstown. You know, the other comedy they do.
It has to look real, Dustin. It has to look real.
It does. Look, Zach. Now, don't forget, you were the buyer who sold out to the Brits.
Can I just say something, Dustin? This is hugely important, right? There are a lot of people looking forward to seeing yourself and Zig and Zag back together for the first time in 24 years. And it's important that we, you know, we're nice to each other, we're kind to each other. It's a different world now. So if you could, you know, some way find your soft side, it'd be, and bring it with you tonight.
Of course. Right, this is for the boys and girls.
Yes.
Is Charlie. Of course, they're going to be there with bells on.
Yes, great.
And it's going to be lovely nostalgia, and there's going to be loads of new stuff, and there's going to be all... Socky can't make it because I actually sold them to Joe Exotic by mistake.
Oh, no!
So, I think he's making Carol Baskin at the moment. Better than B.B. Baskin. Remember B.B. Baskin, right? Remember she was called the Seven Flusher. Remember?
No.
The bad ball was on special in the canteen on Friday. We'd never go down.
B.B.'s a lovely woman. We've had her on the show a number of times.
Top low. Love him to bits. And people have been asking me because of the nostalgia and all that, will I be doing Pat Kenny jokes? I can just say now, I won't be. I have respect for the dead.
Pat Kenny is not dead. You see, that sort of thing, Dustin. But it's good that you're getting it out now. Yeah. You know, before to tonight.
You know what I'm doing. I've all the old jokes, we're getting them out here.
Yeah.
How did you know that? I'm in me boxes, me man. You know your boxes there.
Right.
Ray, are we going to get a word in edgewise?
No, that's the problem, isn't it?
Some sad news is reaching us here from Manfred. Anne Doyle has farted. She was 76. House private, no flowers, please. Going to be loads of that tonight, right? And by the way, I am looking forward to seeing you, lads. It's been a long old time. It's just brilliant to just do the den again for the boys and girls. See if they'd be a bit older now. But,
The
Irish boys and girls, they're the best.
And it is important because RT does Comic Relief. They're hoping to raise millions of euro for charities all over the country who've been really badly hit during the lockdown and the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're happy. We're more than happy to do our bit, our little bit. It's a little bit. And Zag, have you learned the number off? Are you going to do a bit of that with that?
I'm going to save it for the tonight.
I know.
I'm going to get a bit of a rap going.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm just making sure that everything's, you know.
Everything's organised.
Yes, social distancing, Dustin. Have you got that covered off now with the set?
I got in trouble for it with the showing assistants in one of the dressing rooms there at my husband's yesterday. Because I promised that I'd be behaved. Which is the one with the larger bottom, Grania? Is it?
This is the thing. So
I can't. Which one? Yeah. No, look, I've got loads. I've been getting loads of Perspex, really.
Yeah.
So PETKS, right? Perspex. So I'm doing five for 50, the first pack, three.
Right.
And that's what we're doing, so the social distance. The aliens don't really, you know, get the COVID. So myself and Zag or Zig can be close to each other, but don't worry, it'll all be proper social distance. It'll all be done properly. And we're going to have the crack. And you know what? Ireland's going to be, it's just going to be alive tonight. Yeah. You said there was lightning last night, Ray. I don't know what yourself and Jenny were doing. But I tell you, They'll be leading in Tunis, though, Ray.
They'll be leading in, Ray. Leading
in. Yeah, leading in,
oh,
yeah.
So you've got an Irish accent
now, Zag, do you?
Can I just say, Dustin, that we just before you come on there, Zig and Zag and I were having a little bit of a chat. We're a little bit worried that you were insisting that it's live.
I heard it was very, very poor radio. Yeah, yeah. Look, you're safe.
We were very worried that you were insisting that it's live.
Why have you insisted that we're live?
Yes.
Well, it just has to be. He sounds like Boris Johnson, Zig does. Sterling changed you. He just sold out. I can't believe, and I'm talking to two traders. They're up there, Thierry Henry and Oliver Cromwell and Eamon Holm. You know that? They sold out. There's listeners. Listen, everyone who listens to Radio 1 is usually over 75, right? They will remember that Zig and Zag sold out. They sold, like on the Irish Boys and Girls. I stayed.
Yeah, you
I
did.
Being honest with you, I wish I went with you, lad. My credit union loan is overdrawn. I'm only getting 4 COVID allowances because the government are on to me.
Ray, is there any way we can change studios so that he doesn't know where we are?
Oh, yeah.
I'm working here at the moment, right? I'm actually working in the Marty Morrissey Interpretive Centre for the Exploration of Cultures of Faces Bigger Than Their Heads. So we're all doing the charity. You've heard of it, haven't you? The Marty Morrissey Interpretive Centre for the Exploration of Cultures of Faces Bigger Than Their Heads.
I haven't.
So you can donate that. Some of the money for tonight will go to that.
Okay. And the important thing is, as you said, this is for the boys and the girls. And it's important that we do... It should feel like an old den, you know, like we have to pretend we're on at 3 o'clock on a Friday, you know, looking forward to fresh principal air, that sort of thing. Animaniacs. Yeah.
Justin, what sort of set have you built? Like, what's it look like?
It's like the one when you were there. Just I think it was actually Ray's first year.
That one.
Got a bit out of the skip. Yeah, as I said. Now, it might say McCoy's on pieces and the Molly Malone, or Glen Rowe. But don't worry about that. It's just bits and pieces I found lying around.
Okay.
I used part of the wood from Pat Kenny when he died. So I used some of that wood as well.
Look,
just tune in tonight. Look, the den was okay. Drama. But look, can I just say, right?
Yes.
The den, like, we have 1 million viewers every day. We film them in every continent in the world, with Australia, Japan, America, all over Europe. Lapland every year, lads. Yes. Making Christmas with Santa.
Right.
So Podge and Raj came out of the den. Don Comroy.
Can I just mention?
I'm doing your job, right? The presenting because you're not doing it.
Yeah. Can I just mention Ian Dempsey? Who was before me? Because I want to. Damien McCall and Francie Boylan.
Exactly.
Our top mate Socky as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what, Ray? You had big shoes to fill when Ian Dempsey came in. And to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to butter you, you didn't fill them.
Right. I'm glad that we spoke now because all of that bile is out of you now, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine to see.
Fill it in tonight.
Right, we're on after the news at 9 o'clock, sometime between 9:30 and 10. The den reunion as part of RTE does comic relief. Just Zag, so you know it. It's 1800 400 444. People can write that down.
Give us a wrap there of it, Zag. Go on.
No, save it for tonight. 1800 400 444. Dustin, get that set done, please. Thank you very much.
Okay,
Zig, see you later. See you, Zag. Bye. Bye. Good luck. See you. Bye.
Bye. RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, my husband's niece loves Zig and Zag. She left Ireland as a young girl and is now a teacher living in Melbourne. She used Zig and Zag for distance learning during the lockdown. Her pupils love them, so the den lives on for generations and globally. Looking forward to Comic Relief Night's great idea. Well, you can tell your niece, I'm just looking at it here, in Sydney, she can watch it from 5 o'clock tomorrow morning in Sydney. Sydney time. I'm crying laughing. Thank you, says somebody. And what about Zuppy? Well, you got a mention there, Mary Anderson. I missed them, says somebody. And Dustin, you legend. I love you. And will the telethon be available to watch back on the player? Won't get to watch it due to a time difference, but don't want to miss it, says Tricia. I don't know about the player, but I have all the times here for various places. Paris, if you're in Paris, you can watch it at 9 o'clock. Moscow, 10 o'clock. Must go to Moscow. 11 o'clock, Dubai. If you're in Hong Kong, you can watch RTE Does Comic Relief at 3 o'clock in the morning. Tokyo, 4 o'clock in the morning. And then Sydney, as I said, 5 o'clock in the morning. And just listen to you and the lads on the radio. Nostalgia overload. Absolutely loved working with you guys. And I have many great memories. Best of luck tonight. That's Trish Finn. Aye, Trish. Trish from back in the day. Now, back in April, we got chatting about a song that would be Ireland's equivalent of We'll Meet Again by Dame Vera Lynn. And we got chatting about it and people suggested, like, we got loads of suggestions. So the day after, we played clips of 13 or 15 songs that had been suggested. And then we got people to vote on which song they thought would be the song that would say something about us to ourselves during this strange time we're going through. And Christy Moore's version of the Johnny Doohan song, The Voyage, came out on top. So we got on to Christy, told him this. He was flattered, said, will you come on and sing it? And he said, well, we're all on lockdown, but definitely if singing it into my 20-year-old Nokia will do for you, I'll do it. So he did. And that was on Thursday, April 30th. And then the man from RT Does Comic Relief, who was getting everything together at the time, heard it. He said, that's a lovely thing there. I wonder, would it work with an animation? So he got on to our next guest, John Royce, who's CEO of Jam Media, one of Ireland's biggest animation companies. And he said, have a listen to this. It happened on the Ray D'Arcy Show. See what you could do with that. Or would you be interested in doing anything? And what did you say, John?
To Ray, you know, it's such an iconic song, you know, and I've played at every wedding, half the weddings I've been to anyway, and there was something really charming about the kind of the lo-fi version, yes, that came through the radio that afternoon. It kind of had a power all of its own, I thought, and you know, the song as itself and the recorded one in the studio is stunning, and his live performances of it are amazing, but there was just something really kind of raw about it, and kind of in some way kind of expressed you know, Christy himself in lockdown, I thought.
It did, didn't it? And then he wouldn't mind me saying, he's 75, and people over 70, they got sort of a raw deal, some would say for their own,
yeah,
good, some would disagree with that. So, and even at the end, and you left that in, which is lovely, and people will see it tonight. He was searching for affirmation from me. Was that okay? Did it sound okay?
Yeah.
And that was lovely. I'm just going to remind people who wouldn't have heard it, this is just a little snippet of Christy singing The Voyage and his Nokia, whatever, from 20 years ago.
We sat out the doldrums in patience and hope, working together we learned how to cope. Life is an ocean and love is a boat. In troubled waters it helped us float. When we started the voyage, there was just me and you.
John, you've done an amazing job. You and how many animators worked on that?
26 of us over the past 6 weeks. Yeah, it was a big undertaking, but you know, I have to say, it was when I put it out to the team, there wasn't a hesitation. Everybody just jumped on it. It was a pleasure to work on. I mean, it's not typical for us, Rick. Usually, our business is we try to make children laugh, and yeah, now we're trying to make adults cry.
Well, you did it. You're doing it very successfully. I've watched it four times, and I've cried every time. So, I showed it to Siobhan up in the office there this afternoon. I know I probably shouldn't, but for her eyes only. And as she turned around from her computer, she had a tear in her eye. It's just lovely. It's just beautiful.
It's powerful, yeah.
Yeah.
The source material was fantastic. And I think the director, Jessica Peterson, did incredibly well in just telling a story. We didn't really approach it from a kind of a music video. We kind of wanted to tell a story within the song, and Jessica, you know, decided, I suppose the obvious route would be to go kind of, you know, that it's a married couple,
yes,
or two partners that are spending their life together, but Jessica decided to take it a slightly different view on it and looked at it from a kind of an intergenerational story about a grandfather and a granddaughter. and how they're kind of separated and missing each other, and how technology can has brought them together, and then it's got an uplifting ending. I won't give away the ending.
It's truly beautiful. Have you any idea where it is in the running order tonight?
I'm told it'll be before 9 o'clock.
Oh, great, yeah. So 26 people, all working remotely, I presume, were they?
All working remotely, yeah. We've been working remotely in Jam since the middle of March, really. Amazingly, and I'm more surprised than anybody, it's actually could well be the future of animation production. It's doable, you know, and probably could, you know, offer people a better quality of life by not having to commute and run around the place. We delivered a series there to Amazon during lockdown. Everybody fell from people's bedrooms. Yeah, it was incredible. On time and in budget, which I'm amazed by.
I remember talking to you and other people when we came out of the recession, and I always thought that animation was an industry that should be promoted and encouraged and financed in Ireland. And a lot has happened since, say, 2008, hasn't it? The industry has grown.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, this year, for example, it's overtaken live action production in television and film, you know, as in terms of the turnover and the amount of money that it generates. It's overtaken both of those, both live action film and TV production. Yeah. It's thriving, and there's companies here that are just doing so well, incredibly. It's a real kind of an epicenter for animation, Ireland. Yeah, there's some incredibly successful companies.
Yeah, I'm sure you're very excited for people to see this tonight. So between 8 and 9, Christy's singing the song on his Nokia, and the 26 people from Jam Media have put together this lovely short animated film which suits it perfectly and suits the time we're going through and living in. John Roy, CEO of Jam Media, thanks for talking to us. Thanks, John.
Thanks,
well done
Ray.
Again. See you now.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And we're looking forward to RTE Does Comic Relief. It starts at 8 o'clock tonight on RTE 1. They'll be asking you to put your hands in your pockets. And that's the serious side of the whole thing. Because as you've heard on this radio programme and other radio programmes over the last 3 months, that charities in this country have been badly hit by the pandemic for various reasons, mainly because they would have had various events planned that would have been the sole source of a big chunk of cash for them, which would finance the year's activities, and they've had to be cancelled. So what's going to happen tonight is they hope to raise millions of euro, and then that money will go to the Community Foundation for Ireland, which is an umbrella group, and they will then divvy out that cash to charities all over the country. And anybody who works with the charity will know of the Community Foundation for Ireland. They've distributed millions and millions of euro over the years in this country. So you will be, when you tuned in at 8 o'clock tonight, you will be asked to donate. 1800 400 444 is the number. And I hope you will be generous. I know people are going through tough times at the moment. Some people are, some people aren't. But it'd be lovely if you were generous. Of course, as well as the serious side, there's going to be an awful lot of entertaining. And what's the tagline? Let's raise more than a smile. And Twitter is a buzzing. Press all over the world, I'm told, are speculating about the Normal People sketch that's going to be shown as part of tonight's Comic Relief. Lenny Abramson, the director of Normal People, and Paul Mescal, the star of Normal People, are on the line. How are you doing, Lenny?
I'm great, Ray. Thanks for having us.
How are you doing, Paul?
I'm great, Ray. Thanks for having us.
Good to talk to you both. We've spoken a couple of times, but congratulations again on the success of Normal People. Lenny, just before we get into what's happening tonight, give us an idea of the global reaction to Normal People.
I mean, we're still sort of processing it because it seemed to strike a kind of chord with people in a way we just could not have anticipated. So from the time it dropped on the BBC and then very shortly on Hulu as well as on RT and other places, the reaction was kind of overwhelming. I mean, just the numbers were crazy and the press was amazing and all these sort of very fancy famous people were, talking about it and tweeting about it. And Paul's, Paul's chain, Marianne's bangs, as they call them, all of this sort of, you know, viral style stuff seemed to happen almost immediately. And yeah, it's, you know, in the States as well, it's been a very big hit, which is, you know, we're delighted about, but we could not have anticipated it.
And like Hulu, who are co-producers with the BBC, and there's a bit of RTE there, but were they taking a gamble on going, you know, with something like this, which is, it's a very Irish story.
Yes, I mean, they had the book, I suppose, as a kind of insurance in that, you know, it's a brilliant book, and it's also a very popular and beloved book. So there's that. And then also, the thing that's really amazing about these days, you know, in the world of the streamers like Hulu and Netflix and all those places, is that they really are after specific worlds, you know. Uh-huh. They're not trying to, that whole way that it used to be in the TV world, where you were trying to be broad enough to encompass everybody.
Universal, yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So now they sort of embrace the particularity of a project, and they think if it's good and specific, it will then grow and become, has a chance of becoming a bit more universal.
And Paul, have you Googled yourself recently?
not recently, no. I saved that for the weekend.
I'm just thinking,
to pick up on what.
No, I was just thinking, because Lenny mentioned your chain, and then there was your shorts, and you know that it was mad, wasn't it? It was crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, it was impossible to kind of compute for. There was about 3 or 4 weeks when it was particularly crazy, where it seemed to be something big was hitting the internet kind of every second or third day. And I think it's slightly become a little more easy to adjust to as it's kind of gone on. But yeah, it definitely took a little bit of time to get used to.
I was saying to somebody upstairs, and maybe this isn't it at all, but it must be a bit like a person who wins the lottery and sort of has a couple of months at home before they tell anybody, in a way, to sort of to deal with it, because the world's opening up and you're going to have to go out and people are going to recognise you. And that's, how do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, from the little bits that I have felt in terms of it being in the public since the show's come out, everybody's been so sound about it. And yeah, I think it'll be a different thing when it's like everybody's allowed out of the house all the time. But yeah, I feel like it's been a nice adjustment period, because like we're all kind of being drip fed back into society at slow rate.
You're probably one of the people who are glad that pubs won't be that packed. I just imagine you going into a packed pub in Temple Bar. That's just that'd be crazy. Connell was a joy to, I'd imagine. I've never acted in my life, but I'd imagine Connell was a joy to do.
Oh, totally. Like from the first time that I read the book. Because I read the book with the context of going into audition for the part. I didn't kind of read the book initially as just a reader of a book. It was always with the context of going in audition and then hopefully getting to play him. And yeah, he's just so brilliantly complex and has like both good and bad sides to him that people really seem to connect with. And what Sally does so brilliantly is that she never kind of allows a character to fall on either side of the line. She doesn't like clarify them as like heroes or villains, just kind of people trying to figure themselves out in the world. And I think also under like Lenny's like amazing stewardship, that is only going to enhance the experience of getting to play a character like that.
Okay, tonight now. I'm very disappointed I didn't get a preview.
It's top secret, Ray.
Yes, yeah, I know. So why so top secret, Lenny Abramson?
Well, because if we said anything about it at all, there's a chance that people would twig. It's kind of like if you say anything, you give a lot away. So the best way to experience it, I think, is just to not know anything about it and let it just have that encounter, which is always brilliant, right? But it's normally, mm-hmm. you normally don't have the luxury of doing that if you make a TV show or a film, because you've got to try and get, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, so you have to try and tell people, oh, you should watch this.
Yes.
So you end up giving a load away in a trailer. The nice thing about tonight is, because the show was successful and people are intrigued about this sketch, you can do it. You know, you can just say, well, we're not going to say anything about it. I would actually be, I'd be in mortal danger if I said anything about it. And Paul would be too.
But just for people, it is Paul Mescal as Conal, yes, and Daisy as Marianne.
Exactly.
In some sort of alternate world.
In a kind of alternate world. I think that's a good way. Right. That's a good way to put it. And it's not, listen, there's no, you know, they don't go to space or anything like that.
No, I know, but it's not a normal people world.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just it's just funny, and the idea is funny, and it's funnier if you don't know what's coming.
Okay, right. Okay. Do you know when it's in the running order? Do you know what stage?
I think I was told, and I hope this is still true, that they were talking about sometime like between like 10:20 and 10:40 or something like that.
Okay.
That's what we were told. But it was an odd thing to do because, I mean, it's brilliantly written by Conor McPherson, so that's where the great idea comes from. But Paul, Daisy are in London, and I was in Dublin, so we ended up directing it. I ended up directing it over a combination of Zoom and this software that lets you see what the camera sees.
Wow.
But that was highly odd. And it was just really strange, and I wouldn't recommend it, but we managed, because the guys are so brilliant and they know the characters so well, I think we managed to make it work anyway.
Okay. And Paul, offers coming in through the letterbox, scripts and all sorts of things?
Yeah, well, like, look, it's been, as I said, it's been a mental kind of, what is it now, 2-3 months. Yeah. But I think everybody, Lenny and everybody, in the same kind of boat. We're all dying to get back to work, but nobody really knows when things can go until production can be insured. But look, hopefully there's one thing, hopefully in the pipeline that looks like it's starting to make shapes towards.
And I can tell you from my side, because Paul's very modest, everybody is dying to work with Paul.
Right. Okay.
That's the truth. That's like, I'm like the proud parent. You know? Don't be so modest. Tell Ray how well it's all going.
Tell the man on the radio. Like, you've mentioned in the same sentence as James Bond. Not that you watched the James Bond movie, but that you could be a future James Bond.
They're great rumours to be associated with, but the truth is that I haven't had anyone from the world of James Bond come next or near me, so I think,
Well, social distancing, of course they wouldn't be near. Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's loads of ones. We spoke to a man from Tubbercurry, that's where it was filmed, and I believe there's a councillor in Sligo who's organising a civic reception for the crew and cast when we're the other side of this lockdown. That's very exciting, isn't it?
That is exciting. That would be brilliant.
Yeah. That is exciting. Yeah, I think we're all just dying to have a pint together, because the crazy thing about this is, and like, the response has been so effusive and amazing, but we haven't got to like celebrate together or have a drink or kind of let our hair down. And if a civic reception in Sligo gets us to be able to do that, I'm more than excited.
They'll be going, Paul, you've changed, all the success and those shorts, you've changed. My whole WhatsApp group fancies him. Somebody. My mum and dad.
Paul or me? Sorry.
My mum and dad had a row about normal people. My mum thinks Conal was mean to Marianne. My dad says that what student relationships are like. That's mad, because I found I was having this chat with Jenny at home as well about, you know, the complexity of the male brain, and she was going, no, he's just mean to her. Can I just say my favourite scene was that when you're back down in Sligo, not you but your character, sorry about that, but people, that's the way people watched it, you know, that you were real to them, and Marianne was home as well, and you're dropping her home, and there's a suggestion that something might happen. And she invites you in, and then you say no because you have what? The messages in the boot, is it? Is that
the the ice cream would melt.
The ice cream would melt. That's so brilliant. Yeah. Ask him, did he hear Joe Duffy that day? Gassed off.
We did. I heard it. Was quite an episode. I think that's maybe a Liveline episode for the history books, maybe.
Yes, I think so.
Well, my wife is Polish, right? I mean, she lived here for a long, long time, but I remember telling her years ago about what Ireland was like back in the 80s, you know? And when that came on, I said, you see, that's what it was like.
She didn't believe you. Yeah, it was from a different time. Will there be a second series? There's more potential in that relationship, says somebody.
The book ends kind of, and I mean, it is open ended, I suppose, and that's why people ask the question. But we never had a plan to do a second season. Certainly not carrying on from where the story leaves off. But we have laughed and pondered the idea of what would it be like to revisit the characters in 5 or 10 years or something like that. But there's no plan as of yet to do anything.
Paul, I know you're still friendly with Daisy. Will you put a good word in with her for us? Because I'd love to chat to her on the radio. That's just, by the way, what we have you on.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. She's like a joy to interview as well. Yeah. So I'll absolutely I'll send her a WhatsApp after this.
Thank you very much. I love that book so much. The series really did it justice, I have to say. I cried so much.
That's nice. That's
and lovely. The good news for people who may be doing something else tonight, I can't imagine what they'll be doing, but you'll be able to watch the sketch with Paul and Daisy in it and everything else from RTÉ Does Comic Relief for 7 days on the RTÉ Player. So that's brilliant news. That's brilliant news. So it's nice having it done, isn't it? You can sit home wherever you are, London, Dublin, wherever, and you can have a glass of wine or whatever you're doing and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait. So
what will you be watching Twitter, will you, and all that, and looking for, is that the way you do it now?
I'm just looking forward to watching, like, because the lineup in general is so kind of impressive that I'm looking forward to seeing what the rest of the sketches have, the rest of the groups have made. And I'm just so curious because I think it's always a great evening of entertainment.
Yeah,
right. I think there's also there's another Normal People idea.
Yes.
Tonight as well. Which
I can tell them a bit about that because I've seen a bit of that. So it's sort of Connell as Marianne as they would be in 30 years time. Like late 50s, early 60s, maybe. Right? Hopefully I didn't offend anybody by putting an age on it. Okay, right, we'll move on swiftly. Lenny Abramson, Paul Mescal, well done again. Really looking forward to tonight. And we'll talk to you soon. Good luck. See you. Bye.
Great,
bye.
Bye. Thanks, bye.
See you, Lenny. See you, Paul. Bye. 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 Anish Toshin, I'm the Fried Skelton in Oakdale, Le Seamus O'Scanlan. Grimago Seamus, 51551 ray@rte.ie. And I think tonight, if you tune in for the whole thing, you're going to be brought, you know, there'll be laughs, there'll be smiles, there'll be grins, but there'll be tears as well. And it won't be overlooked in any way, shape or form that we've lost an awful lot of people over the last few months. And they will be remembered in some very beautiful and touching ways because I'm privy to some of the stuff that's going to happen. So it's going to be one of those nights, and that's, I suppose, it reflects who we are. We can do that, can't we? You can go along to a funeral and one moment be in tears, and the next moment outside be cracking a joke about the person who's passed away, and we tell stories and we laugh and then we cry again and we tell more stories and then we sing songs, and then we help each other. So that's basically what tonight's all about. It's about family and community and friends, which brings us nicely on to Jerry Fish. How are you doing, Jerry?
Very good, Ray.
Yeah.
Very good.
I was, you know, when we were talking about the song back in the day, the song that would be like our We Will Meet Again, the one that came to mind for me was yours, True Friends.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So tell us what we'll see tonight.
Well, it's wonderful. I was invited by the National Concert Orchestra to perform the song with a bunch of friends and performers. So it's been great. I'll read the list to you if you want. Big list.
Yeah.
We've Imelda May, which, you know, is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Many friends of mine. May Kay, Loa, Emma Langford, Steve from Codaline, Steve Wall, Mundy, Hudson Taylor, Roisin Oh, Sule, Celine Bourne, Angeline Ball, Samantha Mumba, Una Healy, Walking on Cars, Cleona Hagen, Gemma Sugru, Lisa McHugh, and some guy called Daniel O'Donnell. And they're all mixed by the wonderful Damon Chanel and RTÉ.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'll tell you what, we'll play it and then we'll talk more about it.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
So having heard Jerry give you all those names, see if you can spot the voices. So here it is, Jerry with friends and the RTÉ Orchestra, True Friends.
Mm-hmm.
apart. Time will pass, paths will stray. There'll always be someone who'll break your heart. There's no point being cruel.
True friends never part.
We'll meet again. Trust me, my friend.
There's no harm in goodbye. Give me your glass.
Follow your heart.
Wipe that tear from your eye. Time makes amends. Don't be afraid. You'll not
let love pass you by. There's always something you forget to say.
Don't dismay.
True friends never part.
We'll meet again. Trust me, my friend. There's no harm in goodbye. Give me your blessing.
Follow your heart. Wipe that tear. Pass you by.
Remember this.
True friends never part.
And we are true friends.
A dry eye in the house, Jerry. It's beautiful.
It's, you know, it's just so wonderful to be able to get together without being together in a strange way. You know, yeah. I'm very proud of being Irish now. I think we've done a wonderful job at
Jerry,
doing,
tell me a
doing
little
what
bit
of, we need to do. Do you know, it's yeah. simple.
Tell me a little bit about the song when you wrote it.
I think, you know, I always wanted, it was when I kind of decided to come back into music as Jerry Fish, and I kind of wanted to write a song that people would sing in pubs, you know. I'm from Ringsend, so a long tradition of storytelling and, you know, singing. You know, I've no relations that were called the best singers in Ringsend. My father's a crooner, so I wanted to make a song that people could just sing, you know. I guess the wonderful compliment I got was people asked me, was it a cover? They thought I was maybe 50 years old, you know. So yeah, I'm thrilled. And it's 20 years ago it was recorded, you know.
Yeah. And it does suit the times we're living through in a big way. And people heard it there and it sounds lovely, but with the visuals, it's just a lot more impactful. And, of course, people will be spotting, you know, Daniel O'Donnell's kitchen. Which is
yeah, and we've all got the same house, it seems. It's been a great leveler in many ways. You know, kind of doesn't matter how famous you are. You know, you're stuck at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And and it's not the first time in history.
You've been reading up on plagues, have you?
Well, I haven't read of them plays. I'm interested in history anyway. My wife's the reader. She's great, so I don't have to read too much. And Bill Bryson has written a book on Shakespeare. And apparently in 1592, there were always plagues in London. People, right. That's why the royal families always had houses outside the city to escape from the plagues. And the theatres were closed for 2 years. You know, there were lockdowns then. And they lost theatres for 2 years.
Because you're a big gigger, you know.
I perform all the time, yeah. I'm always out.
Yeah. And how is that affecting you? You can't do what you want, what you need to do, I suppose. You do need to do it, don't you? And I don't mean just financially, just for your head.
Yeah, I think, what I've ended up being is someone who brings people together, you know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can't do at my gigs. There's lots of hugging and holding hands and stuff like that. So it is confusing to kind of what will we do next?
Yeah.
But it won't last forever.
No.
You know, Shakespeare, they say that was the period of time he perhaps went to Italy and wrote Romeo and Juliet and you know, the great plays that he wrote about Italy. So who knows, you know, what will come from this. I think great things, great inspirations, you know.
We've a lovely text.
It's about love at the end of the day, right? It's not that difficult, you know. it really isn't. And I think we all know that. We all realise that, you know.
Yeah. Well, people are going to love that. Jerry is made for an audience. I saw him at Electric Picnic. What a star. And that song reminds me of sitting in a pub in Galway with friends last summer. Lovely summer evenings. We'll get them again. And that's it. There will be a vaccine and we will return to a normality and people will be sitting in pubs and singing True Friends and talking about how brilliant the song is. So tonight, they're going to show it at some stage. They're all there.
I think around 10 o'clock.
Around 10 o'clock.
And I'm really looking forward to it, yeah.
Right.
And it's been really a wonderful experience. Yeah. People to coming together.
Well done, Jerry. Well done. It's brilliant. And anybody I've shown to, and I know I shouldn't have, just they all really, really loved it. Really loved it. Okay, we'll talk to you the other side of this, and you'll come in, you'll sing for us, and we'll have a chat.
I will. Try and stop me.
Okay, see you, Jerry. Good luck. See you. Bye.
God bless.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're building up to tonight, RTE 1, 8 o'clock. RTE does Comic Relief and it goes on till 11:30 or thereabouts, taking a break for the 9 o'clock news, which will be a big news bulletin. News just in, Fine Gael has voted in favour of the programme for government, 80% voting in favour. The results of Fianna Fáil and Green Party votes are expected in the next few hours. And of course, the Green Party vote is the one that everyone is watching and they'll be watching the news as a result of that. Joanne McNally.
Ray Darcy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I do 100 press-ups for you.
I can't see you this time. You can just fake it. That was very funny. I've just been watching clips of you.
Oh, no. Why?
I don't know. This whole thing has just given me a lot of nostalgia for Zig and Zag.
Yeah.
Even though people say to me, oh, you must be too young to remember that. And I go, yeah, but I'm not. Completely remember.
What age are you?
Shut up, Ray. So anyway... I actually started going backwards.
Say again?
I started going backwards.
Oh, right. That's it. Okay.
The BBC mistook me. They thought I was 32, so I just went along with it.
All right. Okay. Right. I won't ask.
Changed my name on my Wikipedia page and everything, or my age.
Right. Okay.
So I was looking at there's a clip of you with Zig and Zag and Mary Robinson.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Was this like, what was she? It's not like she was swinging for voters.
No. She had been elected. So she hadn't been inaugurated. And she came into RTE one day and she did Live at 3. And I think, I'm probably making this up, I think there was no plan for her to be on the Den, but somebody said, should we ask her?
And she knocked in.
And her son, Aubrey, I think is her son.
Very posh name.
He had sent in a picture, or she brought his picture in with, you know, to show it on the Den. He was 9 or 8 or 9 at the time. And what about the shirt?
I was just about to say, can we talk about the shirt? Like, what can you even say? Like, Zig or Zag, whichever one, I can't tell them apart. They're like Ant and Dec. I still don't know which one they are. But the one that kind of looks like the coronavirus, which one's that?
Zag, yeah.
Zag is dressed as a Mexican.
Right.
And Zig is wearing a baseball hat. Now, she's like, Mary is kind of wearing a white collar, but you do steal the show now. It looks like it just ran in a wash, doesn't it?
It looks unintentional,
is what it looks like.
It's corduroy. It is corduroy. I think they used to call it needle corduroy, and it's pastel shades. Each sort of panel of the shirt is a different pastel shade.
It's nice. The most 80s looking thing ever seen, which means I'd wear it now, to
yes,
be totally
is
honest.
This is the thing. It's back in fashion. And they went looking for that particular shirt. They couldn't find it. Thank you, whoever it was.
It's very TV presenter worthy. What year would it have been?
1990.
It's very on point.
Yeah. Anyway. This isn't about me, it's about you. So you're playing a small role in the events tonight.
A tiny, like, I think I'm doing the catering. I'm in it for like 30 seconds. So basically, they've asked for ideas, and I didn't really have any ideas because the standard is so high, you know?
Yeah.
And I was working on something else, but then they were like, would you like to present this? It's the top five viral videos of the virus.
Oh, right, okay, yes.
So, Matt Damon and Dorky and Leo with the nips out, stuff like that.
Yes.
So I just...
Leo with the nips out.
Having a tipple with the nipple. So I just wrote some stuff for that and then filmed it in my sitting room, which was very difficult. Like, I know it's first world problems, but it was... I recorded 5 minutes of usable material and about 3 hours of just me swearing like a soldier.
Yeah,
because it's really hard. You've no one. You don't know what you're doing.
And on top of that, you because there's no pressure on you to complete it. So your brain goes, "Oh, that's rubbish," and you stop immediately. You know?
I know. There's no one there. You know, you like a bit of smoke blown up your backside when you're doing these things. Come on, that was great.
Yes.
there was no pep talk. Right. It was just me hating myself, falling into a hole of shame.
Right.
But I did it anyway.
I'm looking forward to that. They always work well, don't they? Those top viral.
Holes of shame?
No.
The top. Yes, we'll see. How's your bit working?
We're live, yeah. Dustin insisted on it being live. But we were live every afternoon for
I know
many years. So
I just remember you just always saying you can't say that.
Yes,
that's all you really did.
That will be me tonight. I think I'm just looking at my script here. Yeah, laugh. You can't say that.
Give out
the number. Laugh. You can't say that. There you go. That's
really
it.
You're like, and I don't mean this in effect, but like kind of you're the Muppet, as in like they. Like if you think about it.
You're very funny. You're very funny.
In a human skin, but they kind of control you, don't they?
Something went through my head there, which I won't say.
No, don't say.
That's an observation. Okay, that's an observation. Yeah. No, well,
I was going to go Freudian on it.
I thought actually that I was the parent. I was the person in charge. Yeah. But then you've wrecked that for me because I. I was the person who sort of said, here's an ad break, here's a program, and for the rest of us, you know, but yeah, you're probably right. You're actually probably right.
I was actually doing a podcast the other night with four comics, one Irish and two English, and me and the Irish comic, because this must have come up, and we were just talking about Zig and Zag and trying to explain to two English grown women why me as a grown woman still has like an excited horn for two puppets.
Yes.
And then we were like, they took the soup, they went to England.
Yeah, that's you're sounding like Dustin now. You're talking
the big red. Sure, I'm taking the soup.
Yes.
But I still judge them for doing it as well.
Yeah, and you didn't successfully explain it, the phenomenon.
No, it was very hard. It's just of the time, isn't it?
Yes,
when we had one channel and everyone just watched the same thing and you just
There was more to it than that.
Oh, of course. Sorry, there was more to it. They had you well trained. There was more to it. But it's that shared experience that you don't really get anymore with Irish telly, you know?
No, I was saying that to somebody the other day. You know, the thought of somebody going in to school the next day and saying, did you all see that? And everyone saying yes. That's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Never gonna happen again.
That sounds like I was saying we'd no other option.
Yeah, no. I'm just...
We did with the other channel.
Yeah. I'm looking for... Do you know what time you're on it?
Not a clue. Probably during the ad break. I really don't know.
And have you any idea what's happened with that normal people thing that's top secret?
Yeah, I think I do, actually.
Oh, but don't say it. Don't spoil it.
No, I'm not going to.
How did you find out? And I couldn't find out.
I don't know. I don't know how I know that. I just absorb information.
Okay.
I don't know how I know that, but I do know something, yeah.
Okay.
I talk a lot.
Enjoy it, and we'll see you the other side. You'll come into studio and we'll have a chat.
And I can't wait to see your slot tonight now.
Yeah. And my shirt. Okay. See you, Joanne. Bye. And starting proceedings tonight, I'm told, is Pat Short and his daughter, Faye. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm great, Ray. How are you?
Good.
I love to she called you a Muppet. That's so funny.
It wasn't that funny, Pat. It wasn't actually. It wasn't that funny. And then here's another thing, Pat Short. She should have been minding me. I have to go on live television tonight and I need my ego intact. And there she is calling me a Muppet.
You have to get your old delicate now.
How dare she?
That's brilliant.
Listen, this is brilliant. You and Faye, is this the first time you've done something together?
Yeah, I suppose this is kind of a product of the lockdown, you know. We were kind of, Faye finished up in college, like a lot of students around. She's in drama school in Dublin and all the rest. And I moved back down during the whole COVID-19 thing. And so we were sitting around one night thinking, gosh, we're both unemployed actors now. We should be doing something together. So we started kind of having a chat and a banter about it. And we started putting some stuff together. And then Dears O'Kane rang and said, look, Pat, this is happening. We'd love you to do something. And I thought, look, this is it. This is the opportunity, a deadline. You can't beat it.
Yeah.
So we kind of put the heads together. And when I sent the tape to Deirdre then, it was like, Deirdre's like, hey, oh my God. Deirdre toured with me years ago and she babysat Faye once and she thinks now it's her comedy gene that has rubbed off on Faye. So she's claiming Faye tonight.
Faye Short, babysat by Deirdre O'Kane.
Okay.
So what was that? Was that freaky or natural or what? What did you feel?
What, doing the sketch?
Yeah.
Oh, it was quite fun. I mean, a very good friend of ours, Simon Maguire, we grabbed Simon, the cameraman and editor, a great editor. So we kind of went off out into the field with a couple of props and that was kind of it, down to Boreen. And we kind of, you know, it kind of makes no sense and makes loads of sense in lots of ways. It's kind of one of those mad things you do. But working with Faye was great fun. I mean, it was a laugh. We were roaring laughing the whole way from start to finish, you know.
But sometimes when they do these telethon things, and they were a lot more common years ago, something happens, a spark of magic happens, and out of that comes something bigger.
Yeah, I think because everything's thrown together, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the normal people, that's not something that would have ever happened because the show was already done and dusted and everything. But now it's back and you wouldn't know what might happen there.
Yeah.
Even just the director working, Lenny working with other people. You know, people working with people that they never worked with before and different things and having to produce something daft and funny. And sparks great things, you know. And I think myself and Faye will continue doing some work. Which is great. I'm looking forward to it.
And can you remember the old telethon days?
Yes, I was on it, I think, once or twice.
Yeah.
I think I did, we did, actually, would you believe that, now that you mention it, I think that's the first time I worked with Lenny Abramson.
Right.
Yeah, we worked on the promo for it. We did a uni grabber.
A uni grabber?
Yeah, I remember the stupid ad. It was Mr. Evan John. Remember there was an ad years ago for health and safety, like, oh, me aching back.
Oh, yes, Big John.
Well, we were doing this character, like he created a uni grabber, this mad thing that could pick up briquettes and all sorts of things because of his poor back. But actually, Lenny directed it.
I'll have to get that out.
It was mad. It was mad. So Don't Believe Us did a whole kind of series of stuff around that particular telethon.
Yeah, and because he did that other brilliant ad, remember the one with Jason McAteer where he dreams that he won, that Ireland won the World Cup?
Oh yeah.
If Heineken did the World Cup, this would be it. He did that brilliantly.
And I did the telethon ones with him, or the aircon ones with him as well. Remember years the Queen kind of, I want to break free. It was a mobile phone in your house. A cordless one, I should say.
How quaint.
How modern was that?
Well, we're on ads. I didn't know until recently, and I don't think I've said this to you. I don't know how it came up. But your famous That's Right came from an ad.
It did indeed, yeah. It came from a lottery ad. I'm very friendly with some of the guys that were involved in making that. I think McConnell's was the agency. It's no longer in existence, way back. And they told me it only ran for 7 or 8 weeks. I couldn't believe it. you know.
And you hadn't said that with Dumb Believables or anything.
That wasn't a particular Dumb Believable thing. It was with the ad. There was so much information to get out. So John's character would ask me a question, and you hadn't time to give a big answer. Yeah. So I kept saying, "That's right, that's right." And there was a radio series ran as well, probably something similar. But yeah, 7 or 8 weeks that TV ad ran. And yeah, it was all, that's right. And who directed that one was, who directed Father Ted?
Declan Lowney. There's like a chat in the pub.
It is, I know. Well, look, it's all comedy related. It's all for tonight's big night.
But here, I was saying earlier on, and this is important, that there's a job of work to be done, and that is to raise money for charities.
Yes.
And on top of that as well, there's going to be poignant moments, I would imagine, where we remembered the people who we lost during the last 3 months, and that's important as well. So it's going to be like a bit like an Irish wake in a way.
I mean, there's going to be some beautiful moments in it as well as comedy moments. I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what much I'm supposed to know or not to know. But I did talk to Deirdre about some of the stuff that's coming on, and it is going to be an amazing show, and there's an amazing lineup in it. It's incredible, you know. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a powerful. I know a lot of friends of mine are pizzas in for the night and that kind of stuff, and families getting together to watch it. So it's going to be great.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to it.
And people have organised Zooms.
So no way.
They're on a Zoom call
while watching it.
Yeah,
deadly.
And Penny upstairs says that her friends have all bought Zogabongs for the Den reunion. And
oh, oh, that's fantastic. That makes it a real event and a party kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that makes my house seem very dull.
She can send you an invitation to the Zoom if you want. You know.
I know. I've packed that enough technology with the remote control.
Listen, I listened to one of your podcasts. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
The character tonight is from the podcast.
Oh, is it right?
Yeah. So it's kind of, we kind of took it from there, but we changed it around. So it swung the whole thing around. But it's good fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And will that continue when lockdown's over?
Yeah, I have a whole new series mapped out and ready to go. I just haven't started writing kind of the detail of it, but now I think the phase kind of, we're doing some stuff. I'm glad I haven't gone that far in it, because she might work on it with me.
Yes.
So I think that's kind of our plan, is that we might start working on that together and start filming it as well.
This is very exciting, Pat. I'm just wondering, were you fearful that it wouldn't work with Faye?
Yeah. No, not with her. I've no doubt, like, she's a very funny woman and right, she's a very talented actress. But no, it's not. It wasn't so much that. I was more, I just wasn't sure the sketch. I think every comedian or every actor, writer does the same problem. Will it work or will it not? You know, until we had it done, I didn't want to send it to Deirdre. And the guys.
Well, people can see it just after 8 o'clock tonight as RTÉ does Comic Relief, Pat Short with his daughter Faye. They'll be asking you to put your hands in your pockets and support the Community Foundation for Ireland, and they'll be divvying out funds to charities all over the country who are in dire need of funds. 1800 400 444 is the number you need to write down and keep by your side. Pat Short, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Ray. Good
Mind
talk
yourself.
To you.
Stay safe. Bye.
Enjoy.
Bye. Bye. That's it from us. We'll see you on the telly, so to speak, and enjoy your weekend. Catherine is going to be here for the next week. I'm taking a week off, and I'll talk to you the other side of that. Mary Wilson is on the way. Where have we got it here?
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTÉ Radio 1.